The Shake It Records label started in 1978 to issue records from local legends, the Customs. Sat dormant throughout the 1980s until it was revived to issue the Mortals, the One 7-inch in 1993. Since then, the label's present owners, the Blaze Brothers, have released albums, CDs, and 7-inches from the Ass Ponies, Tiger Lilies, Heartless Bastards, the Greenhorns, and Wussy, just to name a few. Along the way, they began selling other music that they like in their store on Hamilton Avenue in Northside. The music industry has changed enormously in those years, from Napster to iPods to streaming, and through it all, there is Shake It, navigating the changes, bobbing and weaving, and inspiring music fans with the thrill that great music provides, the same way it has always inspired them. This March marks the 20th anniversary of Shake It Records, and there is a whole lot of shaking going on to celebrate. Good evening for WVXU. I'm Elaine Deal with the brothers Darren and Jim Blaze, here to talk a little bit about what's happening at Shake It this month. Gentlemen, welcome and congratulations on 20 years.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, some days it feels like 6 weeks, and other days it feels like a lifetime. So.
Before we opened the mic, we were talking about just the changes in your lives that happened in 20 years.
Right. No kids, barely married, scrappy.
I wasn't married. Yeah, I mean, we both had other jobs when we started the store, and I would work in the daytime and then go to my job, and he would work at his other job in the morning and then come to, you know, at night. So,
which one of you tapped the other one on the shoulder and said, why don't we buy a record store?
I think you were the...
I think it was probably me. I mean, we had...
We talked about it for years.
Yeah, I mean, we started as the label, and then we actually had like an actual printed mail order catalog that would send out.
It was mimeographed. Oh, my God. Well, not mimeographed, but copied. Like we would go to Kinko's and make copies of it.
And, you know, and that filled like an extra bedroom in my house, and then it just kept going and going, and I was like, at some point, we're going to have to do something. You know, you got to make that change. And I lived in Northside, and I was just like, man, if I could just walk around the corner to work and do it in my own neighborhood and everything, then that would be great. And we had a very compassionate landlord early on.
That's true, right.
Who basically just let us do month to month and just like
see what was going to happen.
Yeah, and she believed in us and just said, give it a go and all that kind of stuff. And
our dad, too, was like, when are you guys going to open that record store? We've been talking about doing that record store.
And I remember him saying, like, he always pushed us to do it. And then once I said, we're going to do it, and he's like, all right, well, you're going to be working 40, so you don't have to work 80.
Or no, you're going to be working 80, so you don't have to work 40.
Exactly, right. Exactly. So I'm just like, and that's kind of the truth, you know?
Oh, my God.
You never escape it, you know? It's always right there. So, but I mean, we're not digging ditches, and we get, you know.
It's fun every day.
It's totally, yeah. And this is my 35th year of doing this. I worked at Moles and Wizards and all that stuff back in the day. And so, and there's still guys that, like, for 35 years it's been, we see Tommy Jarvis on Sunday afternoons at 2 o'clock, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So it's really, and, you know, I mean, we spend a fair amount of our time now going to see customers at nursing homes and this and that. And
we do,
and
actually,
it's just this time, you know, we're starting to see this
We've built up these friendships, right?
So, yeah, it's not just bar mitzvahs and christenings anymore. It's, you know,
funerals. Our customers who met in the store on their first date now have kids who are going to high school.
Yeah, we've had people get married there and all kinds of stuff.
Right. So.
And their kids are coming into the store now because they think vintage is so cool.
Yeah.
So for those of you keeping score at home, that would have been Jim Blaze blaming brother Darren Blaze and ultimately shoving the blame off to Papa Blaze.
There you go.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, a Blaze tradition.
So it's impossible to not draw some comparison to Championship Vinyl from High Fidelity. Yeah. Do you love the movie or do you hate the comparison?
Well, you know, I have never had an experience in a record store in that same manner of just like, I've been treated rudely at CVS and I've been treated rudely at an independently owned deli or a jeweler or wherever, you know, and it's just like sometimes people have bad days or whatever, but we try and work every day at trying to kill that stereotype.
the whole stereotype of rude record store clerks, we really work hard at, you know, not having that because our customers have all this knowledge that we want to absorb too. You know, like they turn us on to stuff every day. So
our job, we have our own personal interests and strengths and loves and styles of music that we like. And then our job every day is to absorb three sentences on the 200 records that are coming out that week and at least committing them to some kind of memory so you can retrieve it Whereas the customer that's coming in, the band that they're asking about or the artist they're asking about, that's the only band that matters to them. And that's great to be enthusiastic about that one thing or whatever. And that's, you know, it's whatever gets you through the night. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, so it's just, right.
But kind of the look of the store with, you know, T-shirts and posters mm-hmm. and incense and all that kind of stuff hanging around. I mean, I remember that from being young. But young people today, their record store is, you know, Amazon.com. Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately,
and, yeah. So what's your secret for getting people physically into your store? Because there's always people in there.
Well, I think it's just once they get in there and really poke around, then it becomes apparent that this is the experience that they're really looking for as opposed to clicking on the buy key. Like a guy came in yesterday and he goes, you know, I had this list of things and there were like 10 really hard to find records on there. And he didn't find any of them, but he bought 5 other things. He's like, I didn't know I wanted this, you know, Humble Pie record, but it was right there, so I mean, bought it.
Computers, you know, and cell phones and all that kind of stuff, it's kind of, for me, it's kind of led to the end of like serendipity. Like every time you type something into a computer or into your cell phone, it begins to narrow your searches more and more until it becomes this pinpoint.
No kidding.
And when you go into a bookstore, a used bookstore, or a record shop or whatever it is, you know, you push all that stuff to the side, put your phone away, turn your phone off, in the words of Mike Montgomery, and just let it kind of wash over you and find something that you were not expecting at all. And so, you know, for me, my life-changing moment musically was at Everybody's Records, and I'm flipping through the bins, and I find this record by Professor Longhair. And I'm just like, man, I've never seen it. Like, this dude looks like a bad dude. And it says, Live on the Queen Mary. The photograph struck me. I'd never heard this. What is this name? And I flip it over, and I just start reading it. And it was just the impulse of picking it up. And I'm reading the liner notes, and it's talking about how it was kind of like a bootleg, and it's him performing on the Queen Mary for Paul McCartney's birthday. But the deal was is that he wouldn't play until he got paid. And they're trying to say, you're going to get paid. This guy was in the Beatles. He's got the money. He's like, I don't care. I want my money. And I was just like, wow, this is amazing. This is one of the most gangster moves I've ever seen in my life. And so that sent me down the path of like New Orleans music and this and that. And I was like, I didn't know what that was. You know, and in today's world, it's just this constant narrowing. We think that the internet opens us up to everything. And it's really, as we're finding out more and more, it's narrowing us more and
right,
more and
exactly
more.
Right, exactly right.
You know, because we're entering all these like cultural echo chambers and stuff like that. And I just kind of see like what we offer is just turn your phone off, start flipping, see what you can find. Hopefully we have what you want, but find something else too or whatever. So
the sound, the smell, the weight of records is just
the squeaky floors, little bit of like mildew in the air, you know?
Right. I mean, the covers, even the covers are so important. Like bands fight over the covers, the artwork, and the sequence of the songs more than they fight about.
That's always the last thing. Whenever we put music out, you know, when we issue stuff on the label, the last thing that always gets done is the art because everybody's fighting over it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and it's just the visual representation.
It's the image, right?
So.
My guests are Darren and Jim Blaze, the brothers behind the massively successful Shake It Records and Shake It Music label. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things you're going to do to celebrate 20 years throughout the month of March. Jim, what's going on?
Well, the first thing we're going to do the first weekend in March, that's Saturday, the 2nd, is have a 20% off sale. 20 being the key number there. And so everything in the store is 20% off, and we're not depleting our inventory. We're stocking up. You know, we're not depleting our inventory so you'll buy the what's left over. We're really stocking up hard. And then every weekend after that, we're going to have almost all local bands in to play either a Friday or Saturday night. Like we're showcasing 2 great local labels, Soul Step Records and Sofa Burn Records. They'll each have a night where their artists perform. We also have comedian Jeff Tate, who is a Shake It favorite, who's hanging out in the store all the time. We've wanted him to do a show at the store forever, and so he's finally going to do that. So, so every weekend, you can just check our Facebook page. Every weekend, we have a pretty cool event going on, so we're happy about that.
So for Soul Step, you've got This Pine Box, The Young Heirlooms, Audley?
Oddly, right?
Oddly, that's a new one to me. And Crystal Peterson, who is right. always fabulous. And for Sofa Burn Night, you've got Jeremy Pennell, Daniel Martin Moore, and R. Ring. These are all great names. You've also got Maria Carelli coming into play. And
she's awesome.
Joe's Truck Stop. So a lot of great music happening to celebrate the month. And you guys obviously truly, deeply love music. Can we talk a little bit about your involvement with Wussy? I mean, they've been so successful. And you go way back with Chuck, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a huge Ass Ponies fan, and so Chuck brought in like this kind of demo-y thing, and he gave it to me. I don't even think there was any intention really of putting it out. You know, it was just something that him and Lisa had done, and and it was kind of this weird hodgepodge that became the Funeral Dress album. But it was just this kind of like, he lives in the neighborhood, he walks in. You want to do this? Yeah, sure.
Well, that's
this.
How it's always
you know, and
been.
That was, like, we've that never was gone 18 and, years ago or whatever.
Yeah. So. We've never solicited, you know, musicians. We just strike up a friendship with them, like Daniel Martin Moore or Jeremy Pennell or – and it just, you know, you start talking and then things kind of –
Yeah, I mean, it's,
take,
it's
– you know, they have their
– It's a handshake deal or, you know, or you know, a very simple outline contract or something and – But it's always just kind of worked, and you know, we've been successful in the world that we exist in. You know, it's harder and harder for artists to make that big jump, but it's been very cool to, like, have the national call and say, hey, you want to do this? You want to reissue the Cherry Tree 10-inch for us? And I'm like, absolutely. That would be great, you know? So, you know, every once in a while we get a tap on the shoulder for that, or we're working on reissuing some of the post-James Brown, pre-Parliament, Bootsy Collins stuff that he did with his brother, Catfish, the House Guest, and the Complete Stranger stuff, all that stuff. We just finalized the master tape on that. And so that'll all be out. And then, so now we're kind of starting to do more of like just reissues and stuff like that. I'm completely fascinated now with the Ohio Phonograph Company, which was the first phonograph company in Cincinnati in the 1890s. So I'm trying now, I'm like digging around trying to find like all these old Edison cylinders and things like that. And I'd love to reissue that kind of stuff. It's just like just putting things out there. And like we did the blues comp to Take Me Back to George Street and the Sacred Mushrooms and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, just trying to hit people to this amazing history of Cincinnati music. King Records is obviously the ultimate, but there's so much more stuff that has happened in our city. And it's really fun to like dig around and but the reissue part is really, really hard because you have to contact so many people. Putting out a current band is much easier than doing the reissues.
And then trying to figure out who owns it. And,
right.
You know, so now we've just kind of steered in the direction of if the artist owns their masters and they own their publishing, it works so much easier. Like we're working now on a series of Cincinnati girl group compilations.
Which we've been talking about for 3 or 4 years.
It's been 3 years of just trying to secure all the licensing and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And it just takes a long time. And like, and these are small projects. And a lot of times you're dealing with much bigger companies. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, what do you want, kid? You know? And you're just like,
I just want
to reissue these
two songs. The
first
thing they have to realize is there's really no money in it.
For them.
We're really just doing it for our own gratification.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, man, I'm super. I mean, like the Teardrops and the Two of Clubs and the Charmaines and all that kind of stuff. It's just, it's
I mean, the Teardrops.
We play that stuff in the store and people are like, what is it? It's just good as the Ronettes.
Yeah. You right. Know? It's the Shangri-Las. Really you know, so, it's so great.
You know, the first song I heard from them was a song called I'm Gonna Steal Your Boyfriend. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like punk rock, you know? Like, it's awesome. So so anyway, you know, we're slowly just chipping away at all that kind of stuff. And like, when I eke out enough time in the day, you know, after doing all the other stuff that just takes to run the store, you know, I work on that kind of stuff.
You know? You guys have so much love and knowledge of music. Are either of you players or singers, writers?
I played a little guitar and stuff like that back in the day, but
I bought a violin. Because it was, it's always been my passion to want to learn how to play it. I wouldn't say passion because I've never done it. But 2 weeks before the store opened, I bought a violin and I signed up to take lessons. And then Darren's like, I found this space in Northside that we should go check out. And then literally, you know, there's no time for that. So I still have the violin.
In the case.
Yes. And someday we'll get to
I
it.
I got all excited once about getting back into playing again. And something of how like my ear worked and a friend of mine, I think it was Jimmy D or something said, oh, you should start on a ukulele and stuff like that. And then just slowly kind of work your, just fun and stuff like that. And I ended up finding a ukulele at a yard sale, and it just needed cleaning and all that kind of stuff. And so I took it up to Jimmy D's on Short Vine. This was like in 92 or whatever it was. And I take it up there for him to like clean it and restring it and stuff like that. And he flips over the headstock and he's like, this is like a pre-war Martin ukulele. These are insanely rare. These like basically don't exist because they were parlor instruments and they're kind of issued as toys. So I was like, well, I'll sell that. And that put me through another quarter or two at UC. And I never got around to it again. Next, you know, when it was $100 a credit at UC back in the day, that paid for a quarter. So I sold it to Mandolin Brothers down in Nashville.
There you go. They probably resold it.
Oh, I'm sure they tripled it. Yeah, but
well, this store, good for them. You've always been into vinyl, even before vinyl was cool again. Posters, books, shirts, but you also dabble in turntables and cartridges. Mm-hmm, and are people playing records a lot more now?
Yeah, it's always been, what, 50% of our business at least?
Yeah, for a while it was, when we first started, it was probably 10 or 15%, mm-hmm. but now it's easily half. And, you know, we still have the dedicated CD buyer. And really, we and everybody's are the only spots where you can buy
deep catalog
CDs.
And if you don't have it, you'll find it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We will track it down.
We will track it down.
But it's been interesting. Like when we first opened and we opened with our record collections.
Right.
You know, and so we sold them. And then
I'm getting a picture here that you are not a guy afraid to turn a buck.
Well, I mean, we didn't want to do business loans. We didn't want to do anything.
And you can collect them, and we do, but it's, you know, you have to turn it over.
Yep. I have a wall at home, and it's sizable, but it's full. So when I take a record home now, I kind of have to bring one back. So,
right,
exactly, and that's just kind of how it works now, you know, and so it's just, it is what it is, but it makes you, you know, I had a friend that was over, had dinner a little while ago or whatever, and he was like, man, people are going to be bumming when you die. And I was like, what does that
mean? I hope so.
And he goes, well, the record store guy is supposed to have like a house full of records. And you've like, you know, I've just, I think maybe through age, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I've had customers say, man, I've been looking for that record forever. And they're like, oh, I'm bringing, you know, like, well, I listen to it once every year or something like that. Like, there you go, bink.
So. We've been to plenty of customers or friends of customers who may have passed away, houses who leave their families with these incredible collections that, you know, you leave the family with all that to deal with. That's not so cool.
My husband and I moved a couple of years ago and had the big shelves and went through them, and each one we look at, and if either one of us went, we kept it.
Yeah.
But if we both went pitch, we pitch. So, you know, ended up with maybe 30 or 40 records in the garbage can, put them out for the trash. They were all gone in the morning before the garbage can came.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So those probably showed up at Shake It later that day.
We do have a network of Cincinnati sanitation guys.
Good. If it fed
who
your,
have brought if some if amazing your kids, stuff. I'm glad. Like, holy moly.
But yeah, we sell turntables just because it's a way to get kids to stay interested in it, you know? Because if they play a record on a decent turntable as opposed to like a Crosley or a, you know, like a cheap.
Those things are great for like gateway drugs. You know what I mean?
They're like good
for
little kids. Like the Zenith I had growing up.
Oh, man. Some of those sound great.
Some of those sound great, but
because they had
ones
old
today
two amps in them and everything. These
are
awesome,
awful.
Man.
And the whole beauty of the record, playing the record, is lost on that. So, you know, we sell like cheap starter turntables. It's a total gateway drug.
Yep.
You know, it's a way for us to keep, you know, selling them records.
Yep. And then, you know, I mean, we started selling books. We kind of held off on books for a long time because there was always a rumor that there was going to be a bookstore open in the North Side. And we would go to these house calls, and record guys or book guys too, or gals.
Mm-hmm.
And we would leave all these amazing book collections behind. And then at one point, we're just like, we're just going to do this.
Right.
And so that's become a pretty significant part of our business. People love it, you know, so.
Something about paper and ink.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just
holding them in your
touch
hand.
Touch and feel.
Yeah, it's just back in the day when the Napster thing was just huge and all that stuff. And like the high school kids are walking around with 95,000 songs on their phone. And I was just like, but it doesn't mean anything. It literally doesn't mean anything, you know? And so I think when you're buying like physical stuff, there's like a commitment to it. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a college kid, you're going to have to haul these things up three flights of stairs to your apartment. And then you're going to have to haul them down when you move, you know? So it's just like, do you really want this? Or do you, you know? So it's just, it, there's a little bit more thought into it than click, 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 you know? So
can you talk a little bit about your King Records display?
Well, we're finishing all that stuff now. And it's not just going to be King. It's going to be all the Cincinnati stuff that we've collected over the years. And it's been years of going through people's basements and like, oh, what are you doing with this? And sometimes it's just a business card. Other times it's contracts. Other times it's acetates or session logs or canceled checks or stationery or promotional photos or, I mean,
stuff
it's just
that we geek out on.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
And we hope other people do too.
It's amazing what's in boxes that people don't want anymore. And so over the 35 years that I've been doing this, it just kind of became this ridiculous, I don't even know what you want to call it, you know, just, it was just file cabinets of stuff. You know, I was like, all right, well, when it comes to be Lonnie Mack's birthday, we can do a Lonnie Mack display. When it's the anniversary of the twist, you know, I think I have like 250 something 45s of just twist takeoffs,
wow.
You know, or if it's the anniversary of the funky drummer, all right, well, we can display all the records that have been sampled by it. And I have like an original Billboard ad for the funky drummer and all this kind of stuff. So it's just that kind of stuff of like just putting things in, you know, not like some big, huge hit you over. It's history by non-historians, I guess, is what we want to do. And just like put it in people's way and they have to look at it one way. And they can either take an interest in it and read it or just like, oh, it's kind of cool and just keep walking by. So
once upon a time, there were record stores everywhere. Places to hang out with fellow music geeks, misfits, and nerds. Places to hear music that you didn't yet know you loved. Colorful, cramped, crazy storefronts that lured you in with exotic, fantastic sights, sounds, and smells. You could lose an hour or four. Eventually, the owners knew your name and your taste in tracks. Shake It Records is such a place and has been for many, many years. And next month, they celebrate 20 of them with a month full of activities. March is celebration at Shake It Records events, sales, promotions, and lots of live music. For a complete schedule and a link, visit our website, WVXU.org. My guests have been Jim and Darren Blaze. Thank you guys so much for keeping
this.
Thank
you, Elaine. It was very sweet. Yep. Appreciate it.
We love that you keep this unique and lovely store right here in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Have a great, happy anniversary. And I'm kind of thinking that, you know, when the 50th rolls around, they'll be mentioning Shake It Records. And
that
the
is
same
not going to be happening.
Lord, have mercy.
They'll talk about King Records and Shake It Records in the same
Well,
breath.
We'll see about that.
I don't know about that.
Right. Keep on doing what you love and loving what you're doing,
you
if
go.
You know what I mean, and I think you do.
Yep. Thank
Quote,
you.
We're 91.7 WVXU. I'm Elaine Deal.